720 WGN. Oh, man, it's like we're back up on the balcony with Siskel and Ebert. John Landecker welcoming Paul DiRica, Director of Exhibitions at the Chicago History Museum. Paul, good evening and welcome to WGN.
Hi, John. Thank you for talking with me.
Oh, my pleasure. I love Ebert and Siskel, to say the least. I've been around long enough to have been there from the very beginning when they first showed up at Channel 11. And, you know, I think it's one of the great, it's a great Chicago story, but it's also a great story about cinema and film and just a great story about two great people. What are you doing over there at the, first of all, I apologize. I believe I'm taking you away from a screening of the Gus Van Sant classic, Drugstore Cowboy. So hopefully we'll get you back to the, at least the end of it. But what are you doing to honor Siskel and Ebert at the History Museum?
Well, first I should say that all of these events are occurring at the Chicago Cultural Center, and we're actually doing this work with the Chicago Film Office. While I'm the director of exhibitions at the Chicago History Museum, this is a passion project of mine.
I bet.
Kind of doing, working with the city. But you mentioned the screening of Drugstore Cowboy, and that's one of four films that is being screened this month. The series started with Eve's Bayou and then was followed by a really wonderful film also from 1979, Breaking Away, last week.
Oh,
today
yeah.
We've got Drugstore Cowboy.
Yeah.
And then next Tuesday, it's going to end with Lone Star. And these are four films that Gene Siskel and Roger Ebert championed on their show. And they really kind of helped to kind of create an audience for these films, all of which we consider classics today.
Right.
And in addition to screening the films, we're also sharing their original, like, on television review before you see the screening. And at each one, we have a special guest who can kind of, like, talk about the film, but also kind of talk about the way in which Gene and Roger reviewed it. And then on Saturday, we're doing an event to mark the 50th anniversary of the broadcast of what was the pilot for the series. It was titled, when it first premiered on November 26, 1975, this was a mouthful, opening soon, ... at a theater near you.
Yeah.
So you could probably imagine why by 1978, they had changed the title to Sneak Previews, a lot shorter, a lot more succinct. And what that is going to be is we're taking the format of an episode of Sneak Previews. We have two really wonderful actors, Stephen Winchell and Zach Mast, who've performed before as Gene Siskel and Roger Ebert. And the audience is going to be back in the balcony with them at the WTTW studios. But instead of Gene and Roger watching film clips and reviewing them, they're going to be watching clips that are actually from the history of the show. So like when they first met and were convinced to do the show, different arguments they had about how to go about developing it. And then they're going to be kind of like arguing about them in real time. Because if you know anything about the history of this show, there's a lot of different stories as to like who came up with what idea and how different things unfolded. And so in some ways, the actual history of the program kind of lends itself to the format of the show where you have these two great people kind of debating something.
And I see that Thea Flom is scheduled to be there that night. And she's one of the, as I understand it, one of the main reasons the show, she almost was like, correct me if I'm wrong, but she was almost like a producer critic of their performances in the beginning. And as I understand it, sort of whipped them into shape, for lack of a better term. Would that be correct?
Yeah. If you look at, there's a really great oral history that was done about the show, written by a guy named Josh Schoolmeyer. And then there was a recent book, Opposable Thumbs by Matt Singer. And in both, you'll find the story of how Thea more or less convinced Gene and Roger to stick with the show after a somewhat rough beginning.
Right.
And they really kind of convinced them that she could like make their performances better, but also that they needed one another, right? That the real sort of strength of the program would come from the two of them interacting and engaging with one another and really kind of bringing out their distinct personalities and perspectives. And so she helped in, you know, transform the show into becoming, you know, the top rated show on public television within a short period of time. And this thing that started in Chicago soon spread across the country.
Yes, it did. As a matter of fact, you said it was a top rated show on PBS and Roger told me once that Oprah Winfrey gave him one word advice, and that was syndicate. And that's what they did eventually with, I believe, Disney at that time.
Eventually, yeah. Their first move was to the Tribune Media Company.
Right.
And then after that, they went to Disney. But you're right. In 1982, they were actually, this is an interesting little side note. They were one of the first guests on Late Night with David Letterman. So just when David Letterman was getting started in 82, and they make an appearance in March of that year, and he asks them about like syndication. Is that something they imagine doing and so forth? And they kind of, you know, talk about it a little bit, but it seems like they're kind of content to stay where they are. And then with, you know, a matter of months, they switch over and they start their new program and it gets even bigger than it was on TTW. But to just go back to Thea for a moment, she's going to be there on the 22nd. She's been a huge help in kind of like developing this event and organizing it. And we're very honored to have been able to work with her on this.
Well, you know, I think the story arc of Siskel and Ebert is a really great story in itself. I mean, you start out with two reporters at two different Chicago newspapers. The newspapers are competitors with one another. These two are competitors with one another. No one would ever in their right mind think of putting them together, but that's what happened. And even in the midst of the initial friction, if that's the way to put it, there was this unbelievable chemistry in its own way. And they were so passionate about their knowledge of film and so willing to argue about it that, you know, you couldn't turn away. And I know that over the years they did become friends, and that's another fine thing about that story arc. You know, you were mentioning some of the movies that they championed. I'll never forget talking about Breaking Away, which was the story about bicycle. If my memory is correct, bicycle racing in Indiana. And
that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, no one would ever have heard of this movie. And it turned out to be a fantastic movie, but no one would have heard of it unless Ebert and Siskel, like, gave it a lot of publicity. And I know that that's one of the things that made them so special, was that they just weren't about talking about blockbusters, but if they found a movie that they felt should be seen, they talked about it, right?
That's right. I mean, it's thanks to them that my dinner with Andre didn't close after a week in New York and developed an audience, or more locally, Hoop Dreams.
Great film by
Steve James. I mean, they really sort of went to bat, even though it's a film about basketball, for that documentary. And because they did, it gained the audience that it certainly deserved, but also gained recognition when it came to the Academy as well. Yes. And then, you know, Steve James, of course, is produced so many great works since then, but that was a real kind of boost for him and for Cartagena Films.
Well, you know what? If I didn't work at night, I'd be right over there. How do you get tickets or get in line, or how can we attend?
So if you go to the Department of Cultural Affairs and Special Events website, so DCASE, and you just put in Siskel and Ebert at 50, you'll get the entire series, and then it's very easy to register. All the events are free, but that also means it's kind of first come, first serve.
Yes,
so there is seating, so you can get a ticket, but you know, it's open seating. But we'd really love to kind of see you either on Saturday or definitely next Tuesday as well for the final film in the series, which is Lone Star. And we've got two great people introducing that film.
Paul, thank you so much for being with us. I know this is a success, and I hope it continues to be so. Thanks for being with us at WGN.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You bet.